Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Live commentaries and podcasts. This is Rebel Yell from the WFC Supporters Association. This is the Rebel Yell Podcast.
So just as you think that we're away for the summer and you've put our voices to the back of your minds for a few weeks, we've decided to come back to bring a special guest into the Rebel Yell podcast studios. I say our houses on Zoom. Joining tonight, Pete, how are you doing, mate? And you're not the special guest. You're not the special guest, by the way, before you get your ego inflated.
I'm very well. The reason you've had to do this, the honest reason, is because you missed our special guest at the end of the season podcast. So be honest.
I was getting jet lagged. I was getting myself confused, and I realised what I'd done. And then George sent me a message. I was like, oh, SH1T, I've made a balls up here, and I can't believe we've forgotten the main man. I mean, you know, George, you could employ like a proper media team, but you've got these like part-timers that can't even remember to get yourself on, can we?
That was fine, honestly.
And Spencer's back as well. He's been enjoying seeing West Ham on Simpsons and, you know, all that lot. You know, he's getting a bit happy about that on his Facebook.
Sounds strange, but it's real.
Be Worthing soon, mate. Yeah, you know? I'll be having Worthing on there.
I'm looking forward to this. This is going to be entertaining, like. James has been called out within the first 30 seconds.
Yeah, so. Well, I mean, Pete's got to get his revenge because I'm normally giving Pete so much like crap, aren't I, to be fair? So Pete's about turn two. And all right, Peter.
Revenge is a dish best served cold.
Yeah, he can't do it on the mic. He has to do it over virtual. But anyway, we digress. George Dow has joined us, as we call it, our summer special of the Rebel Year podcast. George, how are we doing, mate?
Yeah, all good. All good, guys. How are you? Enjoying your summer?
We are, mate. Yeah, well, today is boiling. Hopefully this summer lasts a little bit longer. But we're coming to you from your new look home office, which looks fantastic. As you see, it puts us all to shame sitting in living rooms and little rooms in the house. But George's got a lovely set of trainers behind you. It looks very good. How have you been spending the off season? I bet you've probably been very busy, haven't you, I guess?
Yeah, straight after the season finishes, it's always quite busy planning. Obviously, and we had a really good season, so the awards, and we had to plan all that sort of stuff, the awards evening and stuff. So yeah, no, it's been a busy off season. I'm sure you've seen from the activity that Adam and Nathan have both been very busy as well. So no, it's been good.
I mean, the guy in the top left of this screen right now, Pete, he managed to, how did he sneak his way into the ISPN League Awards? Did he sneak him into a bag or something? Because, you know, I think he was very keen and you saw him in the pictures there. How did he get in? Was he an illegal immigrant into the awards or something like that?
me and Pete sat next to each other, actually. I feel sorry for you.
You know what it's like for me every Saturday now, don't you?
We had a laugh, didn't we, George?
We did. Yeah, we had a great night, didn't we, mate?
Yeah, it looked like a fun night, which was just a sort of part of the season that, you know, it must have been, again, another reminder of how amazing we did in that past season. But let's take it back to the beginning, George. Obviously, we got you took over the club and you had a plan. Was your plan straight away you wanted to get to the National League? Is that like what your overall initial plan was? Or did it take a little bit of time to sort of sit down and think, what do we want to do with Worthing FC?
No, I think straight away. I think me, myself and Calvin obviously were the two people most heavily involved at the time. And we thought straight away that the the club could easily sustain a club in the National League South, and we were shocked that it had never been at that level before. So that was, yeah, our initial, as soon as we heard that, that was our initial goal, that we've got to try and get there. And for some reason, we set a five-year plan on it, or a CAF, if you like, to try and do it within 5 years. So, and thankfully, although Pete did correct me the other day and said it was 7 years, but it's five complete.
It was a seasons. Fake 7 years, though, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it wasn't
actually five a real complete seasons. Yeah. So I'm taking that as a win. And Calvin was right in a lot of what he said, and that the club could do it if we did it sustainably, and we've managed to do that.
So you say sustainability, was that the key thing though? Because you've seen clubs around us like Dorking, which I still think are quite sustainable, but they've gone back to back to back quite a lot of the time. Why was it 5 years for you? What made you think 5 years? Was it because obviously the club needed to be sorted out back in sort of back areas that we don't see as fans, or, you know, the running of the finances, the improvements of the stadium? What was it that was 5 years in particular, not back to back in 2 years?
Yeah, I think we didn't think we could do it back to back in 2 years, because we just weren't going to be, I'm not in a position to just chuck endless amounts of money at it and then for it to go bang. So we wanted to make sure it was done sustainably. And it, obviously in the first year, it was amazing. We got a promotion straight away and that really set us off. But before I came in, we were very close to being relegated. So it wasn't like we were necessarily, although we were inheriting a lot of good players, the club wasn't in a great position as it were. And we just didn't think that it would be clever to go, right, we're going to do this in 2 years. We just thought we could build on it. We could try and build our youth structure and do it that way by promoting the younger players in the club to come through into the first team, and then make a name for themselves, as it were. And it seems to have paid off. I think we've got a lot of players that have come through the system now and have played first team football. We've had a lot that have played first team football and moved on to higher up the football pyramid. So yeah, we're very proud of our youth setup at Worthing now, and I think we've almost made a name for ourselves in that respect.
And how important, George, is the Mr. Hinshelwood been important to this 5-year plan of yours?
Oh yeah, hugely important. I mean, when I first bought the club, Hinch was obviously the manager, and then he got offered a great opportunity at Brighton and took that. And obviously at the time that was pretty gutting. Me and Cal were both new to the job, and then the manager just leaves within a couple of weeks. So that was tough at the time. But totally appreciate why and his reasons as to why he took that role. But then, as soon as his name became available again to bring back to the club, it was kind of a no-brainer. We just did whatever we could to bring him back. And I'm so glad that we did. I mean, everyone's seen proofs in the pudding of what he's put together on the pitch, and not just that, but all around the club, really, the attitude and the environment that he's built, along with sort of Nathan in the last few years as well, has been incredible. And I think the fact that when we seem to get players through the door, they don't really want to leave, and he always seems to get players that have on the up, if you like, and proves that they're good players and develops them, and they move on to bigger and better things. So yeah, I can't speak highly enough of Hinch and all his staff, really, of what they've put together on the pitch.
So what was it with the 5-year plan that you believed it was achievable to get us to National League? Because obviously we've seen season on season the figures have gone higher and higher of the attendances, you know, the people turning up. We know your history of Worthing Football Club, but when you were even in that youth setup before, obviously, the accident happened, did you always see Worthing was almost like it was like something that could grow, but just needed the right movement to grow? Because you must have seen some sort of like future for it when you decided to take on the club and to push it up. So what was that you thought was going to make it achievable?
When I was playing for Worthing, I always felt like Worthing was a sort of a big club in non-league, if you like.
Sleeping giant sort of thing, would you say?
Yeah, like a sleeping giant. Obviously, they had a nice ground, and the other grounds, that even back then when we used to visit, you always used to like playing at home because you just felt like it was more of a stadium than maybe some of the other grounds that you would visit. So I always felt like I was playing for sort of a big club at the level. And then I guess when I stopped, I was still quite young then, so maybe I didn't appreciate that they haven't played as high as maybe I thought they had, and these other things that I have since learned about the club. I was only 17, so 15, 16, 17, and then so I didn't appreciate like the catchment that Worthing had and all the background stuff that could mean that Worthing could turn into this or could be something bigger. I didn't really appreciate all that when I was younger, but then when you take over the club and you sort of look into all them things and you think, oh, bloody hell, this town's a lot smaller than ours that seem to do a lot better than what Worthing were doing at the time. That I just felt like it could be so much more. And I just remember all the memories I had when I was growing up and all the cup finals would be at Worthing. I just felt like we could do more in the community, because if you weren't playing football, then you didn't really know about it. And I think that showed in the early days when we were building the pitch, and you'd get people like who lived two roads away would come around and be like, what's all this noise? What's going on? They didn't even realise there's a football pitch there. And we were like, oh, we're building the 3G pitch. And they're like, oh, bloody hell, I didn't even know that was there. So there was plenty of that went on in the early days. And I think that just went to show that we could do so much more to integrate ourselves into the community. So that was our biggest aim, really, in the first couple of years, was just to really imprint ourselves into the community. And I think obviously there's still work to do on that. We'd still love to do more and more and more, but I think we've done well, and I think the crowds would be testament to that they keep seeming to be going up. So we must be doing something right to be getting people in and getting them to stay.
100%.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right, George. You know, like the image of the club within the town has gone through the roof. You know, as you say, that's shown by crowd figures going up. I find it quite unbelievable that even up to probably like 3 years ago, how few people knew there was even a football club in Worthing. Yeah. Whereas now, you know, we're getting 2,000 plus through the door for certain games.
Pete's a testament to that, aren't you, Pete? You've lived in the town longer than any of us, and you weren't even sure till a few years ago that it was a ground there, was you?
No, I think I'd been there for a game years and years ago, and it just didn't click in my head, and then got introduced by a friend, you know, I think 2017, something like that. Once I came, and I think it was about... I
can't get rid of him.
400 there. And I was like...
Not left since.
No, and I was just like, you know, I could really get on board with this, you know, being a, you know, community club and everything. Everyone was friendly. I think I spoke to George on probably my second or third visit to the actual ground. And you wouldn't do that in football league or anything like that. And that's how I got the you know, the non-league bug, basically. So, I'm a testament to everything that George is saying. You know, it's quite a big town. And obviously, it's brilliant to see the club going from strength to strength and, you know, getting scallywags like me through the gate.
Those ex-forests are expats, aren't you? No, it was one of those things, though, George. Like I've been down in Worthing for 5 years now, and I was up in Henfield when obviously you made the appearances on the Undateables on TV, which drew a lot of attention to Worthing FC. Do you find after like making the appearance on the TV show like that helped bring sort of more awareness to the football club?
Yeah, and that was kind of always my thought behind it, really. And I did say that to them when they approached me about going on the show. I said, I'm not really looking for love at the moment. I've just come out of a long-term relationship and I've just bought a club and all that. And they were saying, oh yeah, but it's a great story. And I thought, yeah, actually, no, we could, you know, I could use this to bring some light to the club. And I think it did help maybe initially for a little bit. And I remember going to other grounds and stuff and people would recognize you there. And I just thought it built a bit of hype about Worthing Football Club, which built onto the great season, like the great first season that we had. It was all part of that season. So, yeah, I think it went out on the TV in like January, and obviously we were like in and around the top spots then. So it just kept the momentum going, really. And I mean, I don't think it played a huge part, but I think, it maybe brought a bit of light to the club.
It's like that thing, though. It's like I said, like, you know, I was living in another part of Sussex at the time and I wasn't sort of attending non-league at all at that stage. And, you know, I was busy with work. And I always remember when me and my wife looked at moving down to Worthing, I always had it in the back of my head. I was like, actually, yeah, that guy that was on the Undateables, he owns Worthing FC. And like when we moved in, settled in, it wasn't that long after that I popped down on my own. And a bit like Pete, can't get rid of me either now. So, you know, annoyingly to some. But, you know, I think it was a great marketing thing for you, and it was very clever. Shut up, Peter, saying me on the background. He would miss me too much if I went away abroad. But you know, it's a great time, and I say that through gritted teeth, wouldn't he? But that promotion, that season that you had, and it came off the back, maybe brought some fans from being on the Undateables. What was that promotion like? As you said, it was quite surprising. Obviously, you lost Adam Hinchelwood, which you were gutted about, and then, you know, new management take over and they achieved the promotion into the Isthmian Premier, almost like within your first season of purchasing the club. That must have been such a sort of, whoa, what's going on here?
Yeah, I mean, it was a dream scenario, wasn't it? I mean, that's what I dreamt about when I first bought the club. As year one, we'll get a promotion. And I didn't ever plan for that, but that was always like what I dreamt about. And it happened, which was crazy. And Gary and John did an amazing job that year to keep, well, first and foremost, keep the squad largely together and add to it and got us the promotion through the playoffs. So it was, yeah, an exceptional feeling at the end of the year when we managed to achieve it, especially through the playoffs. You know, they say, don't they, that's the best, if you're going to do it, if you can guarantee to do it, then that's the way to do it. But yeah, I mean, it was fantastic. And I think it was really important as well, because we were trying to like kickstart this new Worthing FC sort of feel to the club. And I think it was important to get off to a good start with that, because I think if maybe not necessarily needing a promotion, but it was good to be in and around the playoff places and really prove that we are trying to do something new at the club. Because I think if maybe we'd finished like bottom half of that year, people might have come along and gone, not really, it's just the same old Worthing. Whereas I think because we did make a big leap forward in that first year, I think it helped to capture a lot of people's imagination off the back of the momentum of the new pitch and the new owner and everything else that was going on. I think it just helped to really kickstart and keep people coming back, essentially.
So, you know, getting that promotion in the first year, regarding the plan, the five-year plan, so then did that feel like that was more pressure on the plan of like, right, year one, we've already done this. There were, you know, right, the pressure's on now. We all, you know, how did that feel?
I kind of didn't.
I'm sure when you did the 5-year plan, you weren't thinking, yeah, year one, year two, year three.
Yeah, no, I definitely wasn't. I didn't even live by the plan. I kind of almost put it to the back of my mind. I didn't even realize I'd made that 5-year plan until it was like year four and we didn't get promoted. And then I thought, oh, we've only got one more year to do this if we're going to do it. And then obviously Hinch just smashed it in that year, and we were very unlucky not to get promoted because of COVID and whatnot. But yeah, I certainly didn't live by the plan, if you know what I mean. I wasn't like, okay, we've got 4 years to get another promotion now. Obviously, I would love to have done it the next year, and obviously that didn't happen. But yeah, I didn't like count down. I wasn't counting down the years, and if it didn't happen, I wouldn't have mentioned it. And I hope no one, everyone else, forgot.
Going back to the pitch, obviously we had the new pitch put down, obviously, you know, for the community, et cetera, encourage people in, get some revenue through the pitch hire, et cetera, which obviously helps the club. And then we had nothing but problems, didn't we?
Yeah, I mean, it was so stressful, and mainly for, well, obviously it was really stressful for me, but a lot of it Calvin was dealing with in the early days. And it was, yeah, so stressful for the both of us, obviously putting so much time, effort, money into getting the new pitch. And then it was just forever having problems with it. And yeah, bouncing between lawyers and trying to get things sorted out. So it was very, very stressful. And yeah, obviously everyone knows the respect I have for Calvin and all the hours, not just to do with the pitch, but in everything that he'd done for the club. Yeah, I can't speak highly enough of him. And then he passed sort of the baton on for the pitch to Barry. And yeah, Barry's been, yeah, exceptional in getting that really sorted out and over the line. And I think now what he's managed to have done at the club in terms of the new pitch, if you like, is incredible. And I think it's probably certainly one of the best 3G pitches I think we play on now. So certainly in our league. I know Lansing's quite good, but I think ours is really good too. So yeah, it was very stressful at the time, but I think we're in a better place now as a result of it, if that makes sense. I think we've sort of got a new lease of a pitch, if you like. We've got like another 8 years or whatever it is, whatever the life of a pitch is. So yeah, we're in a good position now, but that's thanks to Calvin and Barry, really.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, there was times where it wasn't going to get passed by the FA, was it? Which would have added more stress yourselves if they'd said, right, you know it's unplayable because of the condition of it. So from an owner's point of view, that you must have been having sleepless nights.
Yeah, constantly, like whenever, well, even before like the threats of not being passed by the FA, there was like every time it rained we were like, oh my god, it's gonna get called off because it's gonna flood. And it was just very, very stressful. And obviously that's the lot when you get an all weather pitch, you get it for, you hope it's going to be pretty stress free, but no, it turned out to be a real headache for the first couple of seasons. And then even longer than that, we obviously, the FA were great with us and offered dispensation on the pitch when we were having problems with it, which was very, very useful. Cause yeah, it would have been even worse if we'd had to go and pitch share somewhere until it got sorted out, because it did take a good 2 or 3 years to actually properly get sorted out. So it would have meant a lot of playing away from home, and that would have mean, I imagine, a huge loss in our fan base, who probably aren't going to want to travel all over Sussex to watch their local team. So, yeah, Barry and Calvin were instrumental in getting that over the line for the club, although it was a very, very, very stressful time for, well, I say a stressful time, it was a very stressful 2 or 3 years trying to get that sorted out. So,
well, from speaking to Barry, we like know like there's obviously legal things that can't be spoken about and everything like that. But on a personal level, you must have felt kind of hurt by like the mess it had left, because obviously you've done something for the community, you've done something for the town and the club, and yet it's whatever's happened in that situation, it's not gone right. It must have been quite hard to take at times.
Yeah, it was hard, obviously, because the amount of money you spend on a pitch like that it's not cheap, and you expect if you are going to spend that sort of money, then the product that you're getting is going to be good, or at least the customer service as well is going to be good. Like you say, I can't go into too much detail because of various reasons, but yeah, there was plenty that not to be happy with, and it was painful at times when you had to, do you know what I mean? You've got kids clubs coming down, you've got Worthing FC events going on, and you've got to cancel them because there's more work to be done on the pitch, and there's constantly loss in revenue in that as well. Every time you have to cancel something and let people down, and it's never nice to do that. And that's not why I put the pitch down. The pitch was put down to encourage the community to come down and offer a venue for young players to come and play. And the last thing we wanted to be doing is keep cancelling on everyone, because what we had laid down was a no fault of our own, not good enough.
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
So obviously, George, we talk about, you know, the pitch being relayed and you finally sorted out to one of the best pitches, we'd say, in non-league football. And it'd be interesting to see next season in comparison to other 3D pitches in the new league.
Yeah,
but,
I'm excited to see
it's going to be good. But we obviously, COVID helped us out in that, mate, because we managed to relay without really having much impact on the club. We only had to do one away game or sort of home game at Horsham in that second null and void season. But mentally and physically, when we were so close, obviously spending a couple of seasons sort of cementing ourselves in the Isbin Premier, and Adam really pushing, and we got it cruelly snatched away from us, when you couldn't have helped sitting there thinking, we're going to do this, we're going to be in the National South next year, to then this horrible disease to come in and, you know, put the world on hold for the past couple of years. We've spoken, you know, on odd podcasts, we've done podcasts with you over the past couple of years, but we've never really gone into detail. Mentally and physically, how did you deal with that? Because you were so close, this plan was so close to being achieved. It can't have been easy to think, this ain't right, we're getting this completely snatched, the rug taken from under our feet.
Yeah, it did feel like that. I felt sorry for all the fans, I felt sorry for the players, and I felt sorry for Hinch and everyone involved at the club, really, that obviously put in a huge amount of work over the course of most of the season, and were in a great position to go on and win the league that year. I felt sorry for the players, because a lot of them want to test themselves at the National League South. And I think what Hinch managed to do in keeping the squad together was incredible.
100%.
And to go again, and then obviously that season got cancelled as well. And then to go again has been exceptional, really, to keep that hunger and drive in the same group of players. And then, I think that's just the environment he's built. But in terms of it getting snatched away, it was hard. It was horrible. But I do think we made the most of the off the COVID years, if you like, because we managed to get so much done at the ground. Although it was really, really tough at the time, I think as a club, and I think Barry was instrumental in that, in making sure that we didn't waste that time sitting on our hands, and we really made the most of that time where there was no fixtures happening to make the ground ready for National League South when we did make the step. So now we're in a position just to do it. So
did you ever feel angry though? Like, because obviously we know, like, obviously we're not going to say more important things in football in the world, people dying, you know, all of that. But did you ever feel angry the way it was dealt with by the leagues and everything like that, and people that you had no power in even influencing, or saying, come on guys, look at the picture here. Like, so not just you, Hastings, other clubs like South Shields in the Northern Premier, they were odds on winners, but yeah, this is so cruel. It's not just about the disease now, this is ridiculous.
I was very frustrated that the decision was made as early as it was, because I just felt like the Isthmian League as a whole, I think, were the first to sort of make their decision without really anything else to, I don't want to say back it up, obviously there was a lot going on, so it was a tricky decision to make, but I just felt like they could have waited longer, like all the other leagues did, and just tried to seek out other opportunities or other avenues that they could have gone down, sort of other options, rather than just saying, right, that's it, null and void, and then scrapping it. I feel like there could have been some more time to deliberate and maybe speak to the clubs in the leagues and see what the best way forward was for everyone. But again, I didn't sort of linger too long on that. It was a very tough decision to make. There's a lot going on in the world. And I guess as hard as it was to take for us, there was other more important things going on in the world. And there had been other teams in the league, even though if we said, oh yeah, let's carry on or let's do points per game, there would have been other teams that might have got relegated off the back of that points per game. So they would have been fighting the other corner. So I think to be fair, it would have ended up the same way, whether they took more time or not. But it was tough to take at the time. And you would have just liked to have seen them maybe deliberate it for a little bit longer than they did. It was kind of like almost doing them a favour, just putting it null and void straight away. But it is what it is. And it was between a rock and a hard place, weren't they? So they did what they thought was best at the time, I guess.
Mm. And obviously, George, you've mentioned the improvements at the ground. And I think one of the boosts, I think, after the null and void was the Futures Bright campaign.
I think
that really, you know, gave everyone sort of a purpose during the whole of, you know, after the disappointments, etc. It sort of got everyone together as one, as fans of the club, etc., to really achieve something. And I think, you know, the fans and the community really achieved that for the club in helping to raise so much money so we could do these improvements.
Yeah, no, 100%. Oh, yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think it was really well, not well timed, but I just think it was a really nice opportunity to bring everyone together because it was a tough time for everyone involved at the club, and to be able to do something together as a community and as a fan base was incredible, really. And for everyone then to come back and see like the fruits of that Futures Bright campaign with all the other, like the new northeast corner and all the stuff that had gone on over there, and the new floodlights, obviously state-of-the-art floodlights. It was great to have something tangible that people could come back and see the difference where their money had gone, if you know what I mean. So that was, it was amazing to see. And if I'm brutally honest, I was completely shocked by the amount of support and the money that we actually raised for that. I thought it was incredible. And I didn't actually think that we would, if I'm being brutally honest, hit that amount. And it was incredible. And I'm so thankful to our fan base. I think our fan base is incredible anyway, but on top of that, what they've done during lockdown to make sure that the club was ready to make that next step was so important for us, and it has enabled us now to make that step, because if we didn't do it then and we didn't raise that money, we would be in a bit of a predicament now where we, do you know what I mean, we'd be questioning whether we could go into the next step or not, because we maybe didn't have the ground facilities to do so. So all that hard work from the fans and the community during lockdown has meant that our step up has become a bit easier.
On a side note, are we ever going to be able to use the LED lights to do one of those sort of Premier League style chants anthems with all the lights flashing at different points? Well,
where it's in tune with the music. Yeah. I think we're a bit.
George, you missed out there, mate. You know, you should have pushed another $5,000 or something to get us fans. Then I'm sure we'd have loved that.
We'd need to upgrade our music facilities for that, I think.
Just have Pete like flicking a light switch.
Put it out with Gary and Pete. Gary is DJ and Pete flicking the lights.
Stuart's job.
Yeah, so the Futures Bright campaign, you know, from a fan's perspective, did really create a positive in quite bad times. So do you see that acting in a way for the season that's come, or seasons, you know, that's built, that positivity is built, you know, from where we were with null and void to coming back and we've got something more positive to come back to and to build on? Do you think that?
What you mean for next season, or you mean for the season that we
season just gone?
Yeah, I think so. I think everyone was excited to be back. I certainly was, anyway. And obviously, I'd been down the ground and seen the improvements anyway. But I think everyone that maybe hadn't seen them yet was excited to get down there and see them. And I think everyone was on a bit of not a high, but everyone was like, expectations were high, weren't they? Because we had two really good season, well, one really good season and one good start to a season. And I think everyone was on a high and expecting the club to do well again, and rightly so. And we managed to fulfill that, which was good. But I do think that built into it, like everyone, almost when you put a bit of yourself into something, you almost, like people putting money towards the ground improvements, then coming down and seeing them, and I think that really helps to feel part of something. And really see like the improvements that are going on down the ground and on and off the pitch. So, yeah, I think that that definitely helps people's buy-in, or certainly once you do buy into it and start committing your own money to these projects around the ground, which that's what the Futures Bright campaign was. Yeah. I think, yeah, that really does get people's buy-in and they're a lot more committed. And I think our crowd numbers showed that last year. I thought it was incredible. I was surprised at how much it grew from the... We were all worried that maybe that we would have less than... I think the whatever season it... Well, I can't remember what it was. So it was 2000-2001 season. That was like the last nearly full season we had. I think we had like 860 was the average. And we were all thinking, oh, it's going to be in and around that again, probably, because we're not expecting people to want to come out and be in big crowds and stuff. And from the off, we were having really good numbers. So yeah, I think that certainly helped.
So what was this season like for you? Obviously, we know what's happened. Everyone knows what happened. If you don't know what's happened and you live in Worthing, you need to wake up, because you know we're going international south. After 2 years, I mean, deep down, you must have known we can do it, but was there ever time, and I'm not putting anything against Adam or the team or the players, but was there any time, you know, sod's law, this ain't going to happen for us this year? Like, I know for a fact I can put my hands up and say, you know, we didn't get off to the best of starts of the season, some exits from the cup, and Pete telling me to stop getting so stressy because I'm getting too aggy about us losing in the FA Cup and going to replay and going to that bloody Carshalls and everything like that. And I think after team. That, yeah, bogey team, man.
We can't have a podcast without Corinthians.
Yeah, because I love the place, but I hate the place. The people are so nice there, but I just hate the club because they always just mess with us. But you know, we had that point, and you know, you thought, you know, we had that amazing pre-season where we're beating teams in the National South like Welling and Tunbridge, and fair enough, they didn't have their full squad, but you know, you must have gone, thought, wow, we're smashing it here. And then we had the little hiccup, but then it just ironed itself out. And Spencer was constantly saying to me, Pete was constantly saying to me, they're like literally patting me on the head and go, just calm yourself in. But did you think all along that we would do it? Did you think it would be third time lucky and we're going to do it? Or was there sort of, were you just sort of very cautious to the end? Because I know Hint just said, until Jasper scored that second goal away at Bowers, he was like, we still haven't got this in the bag.
Yeah, no, I was kind of with him on that. I think going into the season, I never get too carried away pre-season anyway, because I just feel like that is a time for to try things and for people to prepare. I think it really kicks in when the season starts. And obviously, I think we lost away to Folkestone in the first game of the season.
Oh, it was awful, that game.
But I think we always struggle away at Folkestone. I don't think we've, certainly since I've been involved, I think only a few times have we been on the right side of the result. So I didn't kind of take too much from that either. And I just had faith in Hinch that we'd definitely be in and around it. But I did, going into the season, think it would just be our luck now if we, for whatever reason, had a bad spell in the season and we didn't quite make it and then lost in the playoffs or something. So yeah, I kind of always had that fear in the back of my head that we might not do it. It'll be quite incredible for the same team to be topping the table 3 years in a row. Do you know what I mean? It just percentages would mean that some other team would perform maybe better than us in this year. But no, Hinch and the players were incredible from the second game to the last.
Yeah. Well, we saw how, you know, we look at Bishop Stortford, how they keep, it sort of went through waves. It was like one few weeks it was Enfield with Mo Fowle scoring left, right and centre every time he touched the ball. And they were sort of at the front run goal, they're chasing Worthing's tails. And then it was like Chess Hunt for a bit. And we obviously know they went up through the playoffs. And then you've got Bishop Stortford. It seemed to be a few clubs, Lewis at one stage, they seemed to come in waves and go, but sort of Hinch and the boys just kept batting them away. And, you know, it was kind of got to that point.
That was it. It was just relentless, wasn't it? I mean, there was a lot of teams chasing us down, like you say. Bishop's had a good run, and their manager liked to kept banging on about in his press conferences how well they're doing. And
oh, they were the best team in the league, weren't they?
The best team in the league and all this sort of stuff. And you just think, you're the best team in the league if you're not looking at the league table, we're 10 points clear of you.
Yeah,
but it's like
some
had a really, really good spell.
It?
But yeah, Hinch and the players just didn't falter to the pressure of Bishop Stortford and just kept plugging away and getting the points by hook or by crook. And a lot of the games we played well, and we were sort of dominating teams. There's a few games, I think, away at East Thurrock, Pete. That was a tough game, wasn't it? And I think we won 1-0.
Isn't that what Stu said he thought that was when we did it at the end of season? I think Stu said he thought that was the point. Whereas Pete, Spence, myself said when Lewis and that absolute world was scored by Jesse, that's when we thought it is actually going to be ours. But like Stu said, for him, it was when that Callum Keeley 1-0 winner. That
I kind of agree with Stu. I kind of agree with him. I think that was the real turning point where you think, we're just not going to slip up here, however hard it is. I just don't think we're going to let this lead at the top of the league slip. I just felt like, yeah, we've got everything, all the makeup in the team to, no matter what the conditions or who we're playing against, we've got it in us to beat them. I kind of agree with Stu there. When that goal went in, you just thought, this is going to happen this year.
I think when I interviewed Adam after the game, he said that's the biggest 3 points of the season away at East Thurrock.
Yeah, well, it was such a, I don't know, like an old school game.
It's a horrible place to go, isn't it?
It's a hard place to go. They're always a difficult team.
Pitch was all over the place. Everyone's screaming, shouting, swearing. It was absolutely... Yeah,
I think it was Jasper. Didn't Jasper say to us, chaps, he said something like, it felt like they'd been running through like waist-high mud for the whole game at the end. Like, it was not a great
pitch to play on, but we still managed to win, and it wasn't our best performance in the world by all means, but we dug it out, and that I think that's why I was so happy with the team that they won a different way, which was it's good to see.
I was glad I was on the balcony, otherwise I'd have had a collar on the next day, to be honest.
You were right above me, weren't you?
But I mean, we don't like to talk about what ifs, but we can kind of talk about what if. What was, so obviously as an owner of a football club, you would have had to plan sort of the multiple scenarios. Say if we hadn't got promoted, was there any sort of thought plan, if we hadn't done it this year, would it have been the same sort of investment for next season? Was there things you might have had to draw back on? Like, what was the thought process? Because obviously we wouldn't know this. It'd just be curious to know from what the planning was from you and the board.
Yeah, we were planning both scenarios. It would be foolish not to, in case one of them happened and we hadn't planned for it. So we were planning both, and obviously there's different models for each league. I feel like maybe if we didn't go up, then we wouldn't have had to change it as drastically as if we did go up, because obviously things cost more in the league above. So that's what we based our model around, really. I'm sure you can imagine what would cost more in the league above and maybe what you wouldn't need to spend as much on in the league below. So it's all them sorts of things. And we plan for both, basically. Yeah. I don't want to give too much
away. No, of course. Of course. It's interesting to know, because I know, as you say, it wouldn't be sensible to just think we're going to do it and boss it, and then there we go.
It would be very naive of us just to plan to go up and then not go up and be like, oh crap, what do we do now? We've got 4 weeks to try and work something out. We planned for both scenarios,
but we didn't have to think about that in the end, did we? We didn't have to think
about it. No, we didn't. Our heart was in the promotion one, don't worry. The other one was done just out of sensible
things. So when Jasper scored that worldie curler in the sort of, what was it, the 84th, 85th minute away, Bowers and Pitsy, like, what was that feeling to you? Because we all are overwhelmed with emotion, but for yourself to like actually finally get there and think, oh my God, we've actually done it, and to seal it with that absolute curler. I mean, that kid is like something special. You know, he even did it on the last day of the season when we lift the trophy. But those goals he scored, we all said it from that first game against Three Bridges when he curled it in pre-season friendly last season. He curled it from the edge of the box. And everyone's just like, oh my God, how many times are you going to do it this season? But to do the guy that secures the league, how do you feel? You must have felt like on cloud nine. You must have felt like in a different universe right then.
Yeah, I mean, I had... Like going, when you looked at the lineup for the last few games of the season, I was kind of hoping that we would get to do that at home. Do you know what I mean? Win the league at home. But yeah, regardless of that, it was amazing that when that goal went in, and we just sort of knew, okay, it's over now. Like, we haven't got to stress, it's party time. We can just, our last few games of the season, we can just relax and really enjoy it. And I think the players did that. And it was good to see that they still went out and sort of won them games. And then in the end of the season, I think we won two, draw one after that. After
lost Horsham.
Of course we did.
That horrible Monday, bloody Horsham. But yeah. George, you're probably quite glad it didn't happen at home, because that beautiful pitch you installed.
That was another thing. I said that to someone in an interview afterwards. I think we've just dodged a pitch invasion at Woodside. So that was good.
Because it would have happened. No chance that would have. And I would have apologised in advance, but I would have been one of those people on that pitch.
I don't know how you stopped that emotion with just pouring onto the pitch.
It was amazing.
It would have been tricky.
I think, Addington, we all laugh at that proper like Essex woman who was a stadium out. So shouting at us all to get off the pitch, and the coach is leaving. Like, I think that was one of the memories that day.
Get off the pitch now!
Yeah. Oh, shut up, love. So
she must have really been pulling her hair out.
It weren't our pitch, so.
But what a day. And the scenes of the partying after, and when we actually finally lift that trophy.
Amazing. Oh, I mean, actually, the best moment, I think, was when we went back I don't know if any of, I can't remember now.
Yeah, we were all there. Don't worry.
Yeah, yeah.
I wasn't in there and I wasn't being served pints by Callum Keighley and not having
I don't know what you're on about.
I mean, they were the worst poured pints ever, but I mean, you know, that's maybe why it was buy one, get one free and all that. You know?
Yeah.
I don't even think it was that.
Well, George, I'm trying to not incriminate myself very much here, but if you want to say so, then no, it wasn't that. Yeah.
Get yourself a flat pint for free.
I saw them just drinking it straight out of the bottle at one point.
Oh, no, it's when they started on the, like, spirits behind the back. I think Barks was like pouring it into everyone's mouth behind there.
It was amazing, a night. Just to see everyone really.
I don't think your girlfriend Jess really though. Bloody hell, she was sitting there with you in the corner, wasn't she? And I think she was like, "Oh my god, what's happening?"
She couldn't believe what she was saying.
Yeah,
she couldn't believe the repertoire of songs that was coming out. There was some that I hadn't even heard before. I couldn't believe it. It was just amazing to be there, wasn't it? And experience that, and everyone to really just relax and enjoy it. That was good. So it was so tense. Everyone just wanted it done, didn't they? So yeah, that
shows how as one we are as a club.
Yeah, and everyone was there, fans, players, obviously management. It was amazing to have everyone there and just enjoying it and really just going for it.
I mean, to me, and I know saw Spence and Pete, it felt like family. We all felt as one, you know, everyone just in that bar. I mean, we'll never experience. I mean, yeah, we like to think wherever we'll be promoted and we'll be in a higher league in the future. But, you know, you look at it and think, I don't know if anything will be as special as that, I think, because of the hecked up emotion for 3 years for, like, you know, being able to finally lift the trophy, being, I say, we're champions of a league we deserve to win 2-3 years ago. And a bunch of players that yourself and, you know, the board and Hinch have managed to keep at that club as well, you know. What an overall achievement. That's why I think it's going to be so much harder when we see some of these players deservedly going up and being promoted to bigger clubs and higher up in the league, because we've been used to them for like 2-3 years. And you know, we're going to see a new look Worthing squad next season, obviously. It must be tough for you, but it's all part and parcel of being an owner of a football club, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all football, isn't it? Players come and go, but I think the beauty of what Hinch is to the club is like stability. There's so many players there that have played so many games for the club and been there for like a long period of time, which is quite rare in non-league. The turnover at most clubs is a lot, so I think everyone's really, and I think that helps with the passion in the crowd and the connection that's between the players and the fans, because they've been there for so long. You kind of seen them grow up. Do you know what I mean? Like players that have come in their late teens and now sort of early 20s and really developed into really good non-league players. And I think that's part of the beauty of the club at the moment is everyone sort of knows these players and has almost grown up with these players over the last 3, 4, 5 years.
I think
we've got five or six players over 150 appearances, which
mental.
Is crazy.
Mental. Yeah. I mean, the epitome of that for us, especially, I think you've got to look at Mr. Pattinson himself. He's come up through the Worthing Academy and he cemented himself this season and become one of the most important players. And he's, as we said, jokingly or not jokingly, he's the one that it's a team effort, but he finalised that 100 point, that sort of 100 goals. He finalised the title and, you know, you couldn't wish it on a better guy.
No, he's really, really, really top guy. And like you say, come through the development pathway and it's kind of exactly the sort of person and player that we're trying to promote at the club. A local guy who's, good at football and a really nice guy too. So, the more just Pattinsons we can get on board, the better, I'm sure.
And it'll just
be Hinch would say the same.
Worthing would just be a better place for them. You know, he's made it a better place. So,
and he's got a knack for getting an important goal, hasn't he? That's the thing.
He does, yeah. And it has to be a flash one as well, the flash get. But, you know, we love him really, don't we?
This is the Rebel Yell podcast.
George, so we've lifted the title. We're now, you know, we're now champions of the Isthmian League and you've had the award ceremonies. We've had one amazing season. Yeah, could have been even better with a Sussex Cup win and possibly the league trophy, but that wasn't to be. But I think any of us would have taken the league promotion over any of those trophies before the season started. We look forward to the National South. Before we move on to that quickly, what was your highlight of the season? What was your one highlight? You have to pick one because I know there's so many. What was your highlight?
Well, in my one highlight would genuinely be that after the Bowers game in the bar, everyone going crazy. It was like 3 hours of just constant Worthing songs. It was absolutely incredible. That would be my highlight in off the pitch in general. On the pitch, it would be Jesse Starkey's goal at Lewis. I just think that was just magic. Yeah, that was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I absolutely buzzed when that went in, and I really enjoyed Pete's commentary.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say I wasn't there, but like the bit where he's like literally proper screaming, like a proper Italian style football commentator, isn't it? You know, it was amazing. So we're moving on to the National South. Like, is there another 5-year plan now? or is there a different type of plan? Because we haven't really had the chance to ask you, because
naturally
planning for the future, Pete's knows something, but obviously naturally planning for the future, you're going to have to look at what happens if, as a football owner and like a board. So what is the next steps for Worthing Football Club?
Pete was trying to get out of me the other night what the next 5-year plan is.
I haven't made one.
I'm not going to commit to one, but as a club, our vision and our goal is to keep progressing on and off the pitch and keep trying to climb the leagues. We certainly don't think we've hit our ceiling yet, and we want to keep going forward. So I'm not going to commit a time to that.
No, of course.
We're in a completely new league now. We need to sort of test the waters in the first couple of years probably and see where we end up. We're all ambitious.
Would it be wild to say to you, have you considered Worthing becoming a professional League Two club in the EFL? Is that something maybe in your dreams, but as a professional and an owner of a football club, is that something that has crossed your mind and been talked to at board level? Because in theory, George, we're only have a good season this year. We're two promotions away from professional football in the EFL. And obviously we know for a fact that means a hell of a lot of changes around Worthing, not necessarily Woodside, like literally everything about the club. But is that something that has been in the back of your mind, or is it just focus on the national self, see if we can get up to the national and then, look at it in the future? Or from an outsider's point of view, is it something you have to keep in the sort of distance and sort of think, well, this may happen?
I think we're all very ambitious from the board level down. So it's certainly something I've thought about and spoken about. And like you say, it would mean, I think we could sustain a club in National League Premier Division at Woodside, but whether we could do that if we went any higher, I'm not sure. So it's certainly things that we talk about. And I wouldn't say we're planning for it right now. We're just planning to compete in this league and see where that takes us. And then, do you know what I mean? It might come to Christmas time. We're thinking, bloody hell, we need to start thinking quickly about what we're going to do. But it's conversations that we have because we're all very ambitious, and it's not out of the question that we could ever get to that stage. And we're certainly not going to take our foot off the throttle if we start approaching that stage. Yeah. So we'll have to look for alternatives and different ways of making that happen and making it achievable. And we're all sort of driven to make sure if we do get into a position where it could be viable, then we do it. So, but I wouldn't say we're planning for it. It's certainly not, on our thoughts or the front of our thoughts right now. Front of our thoughts right now is just trying to support Hinch and Nathan and all the players and try and have a really good season next year.
And enjoy it.
Yeah, and enjoy it. It's going to be really interesting visiting some new clubs and having some new clubs down to Woodside. But we're all very competitive. So we don't want to, we're not just there to make up the numbers, that's for sure.
Of course.
We could always ground share with Brighton, couldn't we, George, if we made it up to professional football?
Yeah, well, a bit like Inter Milan and AC Milan.
We'd get more fans probably. It's something that's exciting because obviously we know the thing. I mean, if you are going to rip up the pitch and go to grass, can you just give me a bit more notice? Because I don't think I bought enough frames to sell the pitch last time, or enough people were interested. I need to get the equipment in before we do that. But exciting. I think everyone is, there's all been talk about, what will happen to the stadium in terms of even, being progressed to the National League. Because we know you have to build new stands if that was the thing. So I think, we've got the talk of the new, we know the application's gone out for the planning application / alcohol license for putting the new container in behind the sort of shed end, and a lot of us are very excited to see what happens, and how when we come back to that first game, possibly first game of the season, when we play through Bridges pre-season. It's an exciting time, George, and as an owner, it must be even more exciting for you.
It's really exciting times, and sort of the board committee that we've got now at the club is really good, and there's really good people in each area, and it's really exciting. People like Mike, who does the premises and the stadium sort of manager, he's got some really exciting plans, and he is looking as far ahead as having new sort of stands built and all this sort of stuff. But there's a list of other things we need to get done first, like you say, that maybe the new bar, hopefully. So it's exciting, and there's a lot of things that we want to do, but there's other things that we have to do. So we're just working our way through the list and hopefully we'll have a stadium there.
Well, you need to say to Mike that Pete is got a rider, and if you do build a new stand, he's demanding a Rebel Yell commentary gantry for himself and himself only. It means no other press can go anywhere near him. It's got to have the golden door and everything like that, and it has to be
sure.
So is that all right? Is that all right, George? Yeah, we say that now.
We can make that. Well, I want something similar, so he can be next door to me.
That'd be cool. Sure. You have the throne there, right next to him. We'll be on the side. Yeah, we'll be your lackeys at the side. Yeah. Is that all right?
I just want to stay dry and keep my laptop dry in the winter. That's all I want.
I'm sure Pete was demanding a throne at one point.
Well, wasn't he going to call it Pete's pulpit at first when he did the commentary area?
that was what you came up with.
Well, you do commentate on the women's team, and we know what happens on Sundays at churches. It could be Pete's pulpit, but there we go. And just touching on the women's team, George, I mean, forgetting what the youth teams, just before we wrap this up, I mean, the club just all around is just going from strength to strength. John and what he's done with the women's team to finishing that league, in the top half of the table in a new squad in a new league. Moving on from Michelle the season before, and what the youth teams have done with all the youth coaches. It's not just the men's team you feel proud of, but look at the whole club in general, mate. It's becoming a weapon on the Sussex coast.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, like you say, the women's team have had a really good few years, and I think they had back-to-back promotion, didn't they? And then last year they finished fourth in a new league. So, and with a lot of new players and a new manager, and I think they did a really good job to do that. Some really, really good teams in that league. So they did well to hold their own, and I think they'll push on again this year if I'm honest. I think,
well, if Ashford
really
out
well.
The league, they've got a very good chance of possibly pushing for that title.
I think they've got a really good team, and I think John's keen to keep a lot of them together and add to it, so I think they'll do well. And then look at the young youth teams as well. They won a lot last year. You had the under 19s winning the league and cup, I think, and then you had the under 18s doing the same. And they were in the Champions final as well. So, I mean, it's been incredible for the whole club last season. And, very, very proud of what we've seemed to have built up over the last few years. It's an amazing place to be at the moment, I think.
And I think you can say the whole of Sussex is quite an amazing place to be. You're becoming the right little fortress for football. You look at what Littlehampton have done. You look at what Hastings have done. Hastings have taken our place rightfully in the league. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with what the money going in there and their new ground plans and everything like that. So you must feel proud to be part of a massive wider Sussex area, which is producing some pretty amazing football.
Yeah, good football, good players and good managers. Obviously, John and Gary at Hastings have done a great job to get the promotion there. And there's a lot of good players based in Sussex. And I think there always has been, but they kind of get overlooked for the London-based players. And it's good to see that, they're getting the younger Sussex-based players are getting their opportunity now and really, really thriving. It was amazing to see Littlehampton at Wembley. I went up to that. I've got a few friends that play in that team. So that was great to see. And very, very happy for them and put their name on the map a little bit. And seeing some of the crowds they were getting towards the end of the season, and especially at their cup games, was amazing. Although one of them did clash with our game, but we still got a good
also crowd. I don't know if you noticed their new ultras have put a logo of them peeing on a Worthing logo, so I'm not quite keen on that. I think you need to have a word with some of them.
Let's knock that on the head.
No, that's like, what's that going on about there? And trying to create a fake rivalry.
They also invented the non-league march to the ground.
Apparently so, yeah. Apparently so. That was all over.
That we've been doing that for a long time.
Yeah, so. Exactly.
You guys have.
Yeah, George, to just sign up, to finish up the interview, a great little chat for you. I really enjoyed it, so thank you for taking your time. We've started with five new signings to the club in Callum, Jake, Adam, Kane and Lewis. I mean, strong intent by Adam and the club to push forward. You must be pleased with, obviously you allocate the budget with the board and everything like that. Those first five signings, I mean, especially like a lot of the fans, to get Callum Keeley back signed in the club is an amazing, because that guy, he's come back from, he was a good player before, but he went away. He went higher in the league, won promotion to the Football League with Sutton, played for Dorking and came back. As I'm sure you could agree, he was a very surprise. Well, it wasn't surprising, but, he smashed it when he came back. And to have him as part of the Worthing team again as a full-on player and those other ones, you must be excited to see what you're going to see this season.
Yeah, really, really, really pleased to start with Callum getting back, because I really liked him before he left as a player. And I think what he's added to his game is just goals. I think that's all he was really lacking. His work rate has never been in doubt. So, I think he's been incredible. And I think Hinch was right to, I wouldn't tell Hinch what to do, but he was keen to keep Callum. So that was good. I'm pleased to see him back, because he's a really good guy as well. And then, yeah, all the new guys, obviously Kane, we know a little bit about, don't we? Because he's played for us before. We all know what he can do.
He kind of kept us waiting for a year, didn't he, really? Selfishly.
Yeah, well, you know, at no fault
We'll have words with him when we interview him on the first podcast of the season. Yeah,
he was very keen to be a worthy player at the start of last year, and not for whatever reason that didn't happen. But he's very pleased to be back. And yeah, he's a good guy. And we all know what a good player he is. And he'll be able to offer us a lot next season at this level. He's got plenty of experience. Jake obviously comes with a big reputation, doesn't he? And I've not seen him play much myself, but everything you hear about him is positive, and he scores goals. And I'm not going to, you know, something that every side needs. Something obviously we've got Ollie Pearce, who was top goal scorer last year as well. So it looks quite deadly, them two up front. That'll be amazing to see, won't it? Lewis White, I really like Lewis White actually. Every time I see
him, do you like him or his hair? What do you like more?
Both equally. I love his hair.
Are we going to think about getting some wigs at the beginning of the season? I think all the away boys should be wearing wigs like that.
I'm growing my hair. I'm going to get it permed.
Well, I know your beard's looking strong, mate. You've got a strong beard game at the moment. So well done. Yeah, good.
Cheers. I'm excited to see Lewis play for Worthing and see what Hinch can get out of him, because I'm sure Hinch can take him to the next level as well.
He turns it on against us every time we play.
Yeah, I just think he's a really exciting winger. He's very direct, isn't he? Yeah. Quick and tricky, and gets everyone off their seats. Not me, but he gets most people off their seats.
Yeah, and Adam Labd obviously adding to the sort of line as well. Great player. Yeah.
Very experienced player. I've not seen him, obviously. Yeah, he's had a brilliant.
What the hell are you doing, Pete? I don't think that's Lewis White's hair. That looks like it looks like a Halloween sort of scream.
It needs a bit of work, but
it looks like a lot.
He's not Rastafarian, Pete. Is that what it is? Like dreadlocks or something?
I think something's died, and Pete's fully on his
head. I don't really want to know. Is that spider in the room? Pete's been shaving his armpits again, hasn't he? Into a wig or something.
Wasn't my armpits, mate.
Is it your hair? I don't want to know what hair it is. Anyway, moving on. I think that's time. As per usual, Pete dropping the tone. It's either me or him at the end of the podcast. But George, what are you looking forward to most this season? What's the thing you're looking forward to most? Obviously going to new grounds, but is there anything you like really excited for?
Going to new grounds, welcome new teams. I'm just excited to get the season underway and see the team back together in pre-season, and see some of the new players mixing it with our players. And I think Hinch is putting together a really good squad. And I'm just excited for football to get back at Woodside, 100%. To be honest. I'm just excited to get back down there and see how we fare in the league above. It's hard to read.
Well, I don't know if you've seen on Twitter, there's been a few people that have said that Worthing are the outside. A lot of people are saying, there was a poll, I think the National League poll, and it said, you know, favourites were sort of Dartford to be promoted, but then we were like outsiders or surprise entrants. So quite a lot of people said that. So I think that's what we, you know, something that's exciting to see if it actually comes true.
Yeah, I just think it's hard. Well, it's hard for me to read because I haven't seen a lot of that league, if I'm brutally honest. The only games I saw last year were a couple of Dorking games when Worthing weren't playing. So obviously, if Worthing are playing, I'll go watch that. So I haven't seen a lot of National League, but I'm excited to see how we fare in that league. A lot of the teams in that league say that they think that we're going to do okay, but I'm just very interested to see how we do, and I'm excited to get it underway, really.
Yeah. Well, George, thank you so much for joining us tonight. I mean, I've really enjoyed it. I'm sure Pete and Spence, you can add to that and say, what a great chat. I'm sorry I forgot you on the first one. No, I didn't forget you, really.
That's right, mate. No worries.
Let's blame Hinch for spending too long when Pete interviewed him and stuff like that, you know.
But you get your own special, George.
No, deservedly so. Yeah. Just to wrap it up, guys, before we sign off, memberships will be available for the Worthing FC Supporters Association from £8, £5 for kids. That'll be starting at the pre-season. George, because it's only a couple of weeks away from now, isn't it? Just over a couple of weeks away till we'll be back at Woodside.
Yeah, it's the 6th of July, isn't it? The first friendly like at home for Three Bridges. So, yeah, be ready.
James, can I ask, do you get a badge?
You do get a badge. I cannot wait to show you my badge. Do you want to see my badge? You're looking forward to a nice little
supporters. Hang on. Just Pete with his wig.
Here we go, George. Look at that. Look at that pin badge you got.
That is smart. Yeah, very. Was it saying it? Member. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's the
membership
card.
Is there other options?
We could probably get you one saying owner, but you know, that'd be another.
Oh, no,
player.
Not for me.
We got the committee ones for the committee, and then you've got the members. So your membership card this year will be a pin badge. So £8 gets you this beautiful pin badge. Lots of things throughout the season. So, you know, please see one of the guys outside the ground once, or inside the ground once the first pre-season, sign up. We've got QR codes. We have contactless payments, or you can pay traditionally by cash. £8. for an adult, £5 for a child off. George, yeah. Thank you so much, mate. Enjoy the rest of your guys. Off time. Thank you for taking the time. And as usual, contact us on Rebel Yell, WFCSA. Thanks to our sponsors, MK Window Cleaning and Nature's Health Box, for renewing once again for this forthcoming season. And we can't wait to see you in the National South. We'll have come back for you for pre-season, sort of post-pre-season podcast special, where we speak to Barry and we speak to Hinch and speak to some of the new players. We look forward to bringing you that to you. And we'll see you all in a couple of weeks. But from myself, Pete and Spence, and obviously George, our special guest, good night, everyone.
This is the Rebel Yell Podcast.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.